Next case for argument is Zhu versus Bunge Agribusiness. Mr. Q.
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honor. May I please the court? I am Peter Chu, representing my client, Mr. Xu. We ask this court, Your Honor, to reverse the district court or otherwise remand it thereto for further proceedings. Your Honor, I understand that you have a concern about subject matter jurisdiction, which I believe the district court had for the following reasons. One, Bunge sued Dalian pursuant to a federal statute, the Convention on the Recognition and Enforcement of Foreign Arbitral Awards. Two, Mr. Xu's claim arose from a federal judgment in the same matter, and therefore, under 9 U.S.C. Section 203, constitute, quote, an action or proceeding falling under the convention on which Bunge's claims was premised. Three, apparently, Judge Zagel found no issue with the subject matter jurisdiction because in the order entered on August 22, 2005, Judge Zagel stated in his order that, quote, she may, of course, intervene in this case. Now, Your
Honor...
Wasn't
the case over? A judgment had been entered?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Wasn't the case over? A judgment had been entered years earlier.
The case was over between the parties, Bunge and Dalian, in March of 2007. However, under Martin versus Wilkins, Mr. Xu is still entitled to a day in court.
But what did the judgment say? Did the judgment not involve Xu or what? There was a judgment. Didn't it resolve the case?
Let me answer that question, Your Honor. The judgment that was entered on March the 22nd, 2007, granted Bunge's motion and allowing Bunge to take away
but was
the
that
property.
A final judgment that terminated the litigation?
It was a final judgment in terms of timing. There was nothing after the date that judgment was entered.
I don't understand. Did it purport to be a final judgment that terminated the litigation?
I wouldn't say that, for the reason that Mr. Xu was never served in that action, even though he was injured by that federal judgment.
He was aware, though, that his funds were restricted, I think, as early as 2005?
That is correct. He was certainly aware of that.
And he protested that.
He protested that. You are absolutely correct, Your Honor.
So why does he wait more than 6 years to get involved?
As counsel, doing this case from the very beginning, it is my belief, and there is evidence to prove that Mr. Xu, after consulting counsels, he was advised that if he was not served, then the district court will eventually release the funds from the frozen accounts. Judge, let me continue on the subject matter jurisdiction. If a reasonable person would agree with Judge Zagel, if he says that she may intervene in this case, then certainly, from the district court point of view, the court had subject matter jurisdiction. Finally, Your Honor, Mr. Xu brought this claim against Bunge under and pursuant to Federal Rule 13A and G, governing the cross claims and counterclaims. In addition, his claims also raised issues with Rule 19 and Rule 60B6. Therefore, those issues necessarily were premised on the federal common law adjudicating arising under principle governing federal question jurisdiction. So in any way, Your Honor, I don't see there is any issue on that. Secondly, the serious flaw in this case, Your Honor, is that the district court never had personal jurisdiction over my client because he was never served. And if he was never served, any orders, judgment affecting him as an adverse party, adversary party, were void ab initio, regardless of when they were entered. So the statute of limitation is a non-issue as well in this case. Let me talk about Rule 13A and G, Your Honor, which Mr. Xu's cross-claims were premised on. Rule 13A used the term, I quote, a pleader can bring a claim against any opposing party. Rule 13A does not require that a pleader be a named party in the original action. Therefore, Mr. Xu satisfies Rule 13A. Under Rule 13G, even though Mr. Xu is not a named party, what happened in this case is that Bungie took his property pursuant to a federal judgment. Therefore, under Martin, he became an affected party. He became an interested party. So therefore, his claims also come into the jurisdiction of Rule 13G.
So why didn't he sue Bungie?
He did. The cross claims that he filed at the district court.
Why didn't he file a complaint saying Bungie had stolen property from him?
Correct, Your Honor. And that
how can you intervene in a dead suit? I don't get it.
Judge, the awkwardness of this case is that
why didn't he just file a lawsuit against Bungie? It'd be so simple.
If he filed a lawsuit against Bungie, there are two issues. Is one, that case would be dismissed because the fact that Bungie could take his money was pursuant to a federal judgment. Therefore, his lawsuit had to be reconnected with the that federal judgment.
Wrong. No, that's completely wrong because your whole point is that that original suit, that original judgment was void, right?
I'm sorry, I missed that. What you said.
You think the original judgment was void.
Correct.
Right.
With respect to Xu.
If it was void, then he can bring a new lawsuit.
But there was no clean paper in this case. Still, there was a history in this case. And he, in order to make his claims meaningful for the district court.
No, that's not true. He just sues Bungie. And when Bungie pleads the previous judgment, he says, no, that's not a good defense because that judgment was improper. That's how you handle things like this.
Well,
you don't file cross claims and suits that were resolved years earlier. Never seen that before.
Your Honor, you may be correct on that, but I don't see there's any substantial difference between doing that and what Mr. Xu just did at the district court. It's a cross claim under Rule 13A and G. He was allowed to do that.
No, you're not allowed to keep filing cross claims in ancient lawsuits that have been dismissed.
It was not ancient, Judge. It was 5 years old.
Oh, come on. Doesn't make any sense.
I don't want
to. As far as your analysis is concerned, it could be 1,000 years old.
Well, 1,000 years in human civilization of 5,000 years is too short. And Mr. Xu had faith in the system of justice of this court.
Well, what's he sitting around for 6 years with his faith?
Well, Judge, you remember.
What did he think would happen in those 6 years?
He was 10,000 miles away. And it was difficult for him to enter this country after 9/11. That was a fact. He was never a resident in this country. And he was.
You don't have to be a resident to bring a lawsuit.
I agree with that, Your Honor. I agree with you. But let me address the issue on Rule 19A. This whole mess, Judge, would have been resolved if Bungie joins Mr. Xu under Rule 19A, A1. For two reasons, Judge. One, it was Bungie's allegation that Xu's property belonged or was beneficiary, had a beneficial interest in Dalian. And so if you made that argument, then you better join the owner of the property. That's one thing. Two, they didn't serve Xu, and so in his absence, the district court made a judgment, made a ruling in violation of Rule 19A. In addition, Mr. Xu did file twice, not once, twice, file his written protest, saying that that is his own property that had nothing to do with the defendant, Dalian. So it was a total flaw on the part of Bungie by cutting the shortcut and violating Rule 19A and does not remedy him, my client, a reasonable day in court. My client is entitled to a day in court before his property was taken, Your Honor. That's very simple.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. O'Meara?
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel, Robert O'Meara on behalf of Bungie Agribusiness Singapore. Your Honor, to respond to your question asked earlier, was this a final judgment entered by Judge Zagel on March 23rd, 2007? The answer is yes, it was, and it disposed of the case. The case was closed, and it remained closed for over 5.5 years until the plaintiff filed a cross-claim asserting for the first time 5 state law causes of action against Bungie. As the plaintiff in a new matter, the burden to establish subject matter jurisdiction falls on the plaintiff. The only basis for federal court subject matter jurisdiction asserted in this case were Federal Rules of Civil Procedure 13A and 13G. Obviously, those rules don't provide subject matter jurisdiction, as Federal Rule 82 indicates. No other basis for subject matter was identified in the complaint. And on motion to dismiss briefing, there were some vague references to diversity jurisdiction and other federal rules of civil procedure, none of which provide an independent basis of subject matter jurisdiction in this court. Bungie agrees with Your Honor that the simple solution here for the plaintiff would have been to file an independent action. He didn't need to file a cross-claim in a long, closed, dormant case to which he was never a party. It's indisputable that he wasn't named in the underlying lawsuit. The judgment doesn't name him. And under Martin v. Wilkes, arguably he's not bound by it unless certain exceptions apply. He still has a possibility to get a day in court. The res judicata effect or otherwise of the preceding pleading will be decided by a court that has subject matter jurisdiction to hear the issue. But he's fundamentally failed to establish the jurisdiction in the court below, which is what Judge Zagel found. First finding that none of the federal rules provide an independent basis to either reopen the case or for subject matter jurisdiction over state law claims here. And then in addition, addressing the Rule 60B issue, which Judge Zagel ultimately found to be untimely, since it's undisputed that plaintiff knew about the action in 05, arguably knew about the judgment in 07, and took no action for over 5.5 years before he appeared in the case to assert any claims whatsoever. To address one point made, simply because his claims may adversely impact or touch on a prior federal judgment doesn't render them arising under 1331 for federal subject matter jurisdiction purposes. Nor does a federal defense, if we were to assert it, of res judicata based on the prior proceeding supply a basis for subject matter jurisdiction either. In the briefs, the plaintiff makes multiple representations about the underlying judgment being void because he wasn't served and for lack of personal jurisdiction. I think that's a red herring. He wasn't served because he wasn't named and he wasn't made a party to the judgment. So the analysis about a void judgment for lack of personal jurisdiction or lack of service simply doesn't apply in this case. He relies primarily on a Philo's Technology case, there a defendant was named as in a judgment not properly served, and the court reversed under Rule 60B. Different situation than what's present here, since he was never named and not part of the judgment that was entered. In this case, Your Honor, Judge Zagel properly found that the plaintiff couldn't intervene, couldn't otherwise assert state law claims in a long dormant federal court action without a separate basis for subject matter jurisdiction. In addition, as an alternative, he found that even if he could, those claims would be barred by the relevant statute of limitations in this case. Nothing the plaintiff has presented here would render that decision, should counsel in favor of not reversing that, we'd ask you to affirm Judge Zagel's decision dismissing this case for lack of subject matter jurisdiction.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Romero.
Thank you.
Mr. Jude, do you have anything further?
Bundy keep arguing in this entire case that the case was closed. I hope you would agree with me, Your Honor, that under the entire Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, there is no such a term as closed. I want to quote one statement from the U.S. Supreme Court, the entire sentence. It says, a judgment or decree among parties to a lawsuit resolves issues as among them, but it does not conclude the rights of strangers to those proceedings. Your Honor, all my client is asking this court to do is to give him and recognize that right that he has been owed to from day one. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.